Electric batteries are a huge part of plans to move toward a renewable energy future and away from fossil fuels. As production continues to ramp up, the costs have been trending down. Because batteries are the most expensive component of electric vehicles, the Wall Street Journal reports that the gap is starting to close between the costs of EVs and their gas-powered counterparts. We have seen, though, some bottlenecks in battery production. Part of the Biden administration's Inflation Reduction Act creates incentives to increase domestic lithium extraction and processing for lithium-ion batteries. And last week, Tesla announced their plans to develop domestic lithium refining capacity for their vehicles. There have been other growing pains. For example, Ford temporarily stopped production of their F-150 Lightning electric pickup truck to address concerns about potential battery fires. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the constantly evolving battery world, the technology, the production, and more? What do you want to know about your electric vehicle if you have one? What concerns do you have about battery safety? Do you want to see more focus on production here in the United States? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Steve Levine is the editor of The Electric Newsletter. That's part of the online technology publication, The Information. He's author of the book, The Powerhouse, America, China, and the Great Battery War. Steve, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, Rob.
Now, I first talked to you back in 2015, and there were a lot of open questions about whether battery technology was going to keep up with our need, our goals of electrifying lots of stuff. What do you see as the biggest big picture stories over that last, 8 years?
Okay, the first thing I want to say is I'm mad at you for not speaking to me for 8 years. So when we spoke back then, it was right when the powerhouse was coming out, and batteries, EVs, this future was pretty aspirational. You know, we thought that it was possible that the price, the cost of batteries would come down enough to make EVs one day competitive with combustion. But they were still very expensive, and it was we had Tesla out there with a Tesla. So the big thing that has changed is very in very quick order, really over the last 2 or 3 years, the price, the cost of batteries has plummeted, and EVs themselves have become cheaper. All of the major automakers in the world, without exception, have bought into the Tesla story. They all want to be Tesla. So we're embarking on a world flooded by EVs. And so the difference, in short, is we are in an electric world.
What is driving the price of these batteries down over this last couple of years?
Iteration, very surprisingly, you tinker year by year, and you get a few single percentage points off the cost every year for 10 or 12 years, and suddenly you've gone down an order of magnitude. So in 2010, the metric we're talking about is dollars per kilowatt hour for batteries, and around 2010, when the last time when this whole age began, it was about $1,000 or $1,200, and it's like $120 or $150 now. So it is an order of magnitude lower. But that's really, Rob, it's just cutting out, say, 5 to 7% per year of the cost by tinkering.
We've thought a lot about supply chains for various products over the last few years. How central is China to the electric battery supply chain, whether it's the raw materials, things like lithium and other minerals, versus, and of course, the production of the batteries themselves?
Yeah. So the short answer is that China totally dominates the battery supply chain. And that doesn't mean the ore. So the ore, most of the ore comes from other places like Democratic Republic of Congo, the Lithium Triangle countries in South America, Australia, Indonesia. But what China controls is everything that happens after that. So processing all of those metals into precursor chemicals, and then turning those into electrodes and separators and so on, and making those into batteries, and then making they're also making big inroads in EVs themselves. So the Chinese, we started out on an even playing field back in 2009, 2010. The US and China both said they were going to own EVs. They were both going to own batteries. We quit around 2012. The Chinese kept going, and the result of that is they own the battery space.
Now, the Biden administration, I mentioned, is trying to push production here in the United States. Is it too late, or is there room for a game of catch up there?
It's too late for the 2020s. So the Chinese will own the 2020s.
We're talking to Steve Levine, editor of the Electric Newsletter, author of the book The Powerhouse: America, China, and the Great Battery War. We're talking about the latest developments in batteries for electric vehicles and more. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We'll get back to our guest in a few minutes. I've lost our connection, I believe. But again, you can join in. Do you have an electric vehicle yourself? Love to hear from you. What made you decide? How did the cost shake out when you were comparison shopping, maybe with gas vehicles or hybrids? You can email ideas@wpr.org or call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation with Steve Levine, editor of the Electric Newsletter. That's part of the online technology publication, The Information. He's the author of The Powerhouse: America, China, and the Great Battery War, talking about the growing electric battery industry, cost, supply chain challenges, some safety concerns. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Steve, before we go to our callers, before the break, you were just talking about China owning the 2020s, at least when it comes to battery production. Is there room, if we start now, for the United States to move in after that?
Yeah. Rob, can I ask you where we dropped off?
You actually made a pretty strong statement. China owns the 2020s, and that's where we lost you.
And that's okay. So I'll just very quickly wrap up the rest. It's so you know, China spent the 2010s buying and leasing and signing contracts for all of the lithium metals that they needed around the world, and establishing in China the whole industry from soup to nuts, from the chemicals to the electrodes to batteries themselves. And right now you can almost not make a lithium.
And we've lost the connection with our guest again. We will just go with an old-fashioned phone call next. And you can make an old-fashioned phone call at 800-642-1234 as we hopefully pick up the conversation about electric batteries and their future in the United States. Join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Coming up, we'll take a look at mental health disparities here in Wisconsin. Check in with a few people working on a new grant program. Okay, we got you back again, Steve. I think we'll stick with this line for now. Pick up where you left off. China soaked up a lot of the lithium around the world, you were saying. Can we get more of it?
Yeah. So China really has all of the metals, the cobalt, nickel, manganese, lithium, and also the graphite. They can control the graphite. And so the United States is embarked on trying to establish its own
processing industry. That is the strategic center, is being able to process everything into electrodes. This is what the money is all about, right? The U.S., it's an unprecedented effort by the U.S. in a peacetime effort, $250 billion to jumpstart a battery industry in the United States. And it's all about execution. We have a terrible history of sticking with things. Right now, we're in a very good position. It's a very impressive effort that Congress and the administration have put together, but it has to be something that's sustained for the whole decade.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Mike is with us in Superior. Mike, hi.
Hi. There's a quick comment. The chairman of Toyota has decided that plug-in hybrids still have a place in America's future, because an 100% electric battery is only good when the grid is up, and we're having a lot of problems with a fragile grid. But the other point is, there is a new design for lead acid, and lead acid batteries, because of their weight, makes better for stationary batteries like backup systems. And it's called a green lead acid, which is made by a company in Michigan, ABC Battery or Advanced Battery. And it's half the battery weight, twice the charge time, or half the charge time, twice the charge length. And it's got a niche to play. So I think the 100% electric lithium is not the solution. And as Toyota chairman said, there's still going to be people who can't afford $70,000-$80,000 electrics and plug-in hybrids.
Mike, I gotcha. Thanks for the call. A couple points there, Steve. Now, Toyota's, that exec you're talking about, was one of the great, I think, skeptics in the auto industry, kind of a standout in skepticism about electric vehicles. What do you make of Toyota and EVs?
Yeah, I think that Toyota is right. One, you should know that Toyota has, they've pivoted to electrics to some degree, right? So the CEO was just demoted, and a new CEO brought in, and the new CEO, the reason for that was to make the pivot to EVs. But what's their point? Their point is that it's really the point that I'm making, that the transition to a non-Chinese future, to creating the battery supply chain and capacity around the world, is going to take, the next 8 or 10 years. What do we do in the meantime? And Toyota is arguing that there are going to be people who, they'll pay for, the more expensive EVs now, but there are going to be a lot of people who don't want to pay less or have different preferences, and the hybrid is the answer for them. What's wrong with that? I don't understand why anyone would object to that. And the second thing the caller was asking about lead acid batteries.
Right.
He was talking about stationary batteries, and yes, absolutely. You've got all the space in the world. Weight doesn't matter. So, lead acid is cheap. So why not use lead acid? Absolutely.
And that would be, thanks a lot for that call. Would that be, you said stationary, so something like, hey, we're generating tons of wind or solar power right now. We want to store it for, overnight or something like that when we need it. Is that a place where a stationary lead acid battery might come into the picture?
That's exactly where it would.
Thanks again for that call at 800-642-1234. Let's go down to Jim with us in East Troy. Jim, hi.
Hi. Say, so I just got a question on the future of this. So lithium has its limitations. NiCad batteries are kind of gone. Lead acid has its limitations. What's coming down the pipe? What's the next thing in storage?
Oh, interesting, yeah. Jim. Steve, that's something you've been looking at, the next thing in storage for years now. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, okay. So the first thing to know, right, is keeping in mind the context. Lead acid invented in 1869. So it's with a, it's been with us a long time. That's how long these sort of technologies endure. And lithium is going to be with us, lithium ion batteries, for a very long time. I don't know if it's going to be 150 years like with lead acid, but a long time. And there are physical, there are chemical reasons for that. What is next on the radar screen that could coexist with it? There's sodium ion. Sodium is salt. It's everywhere. It's even more plentiful than lithium. It's less energy dense. It will give you less range, a lot less range in your car. The same sort of carries through in terms of stationary storage. Less longevity, but again, it's cheap, it's plentiful, and so if there is at this stage, if there is going to be a successor to lithium, it would be sodium.
Thanks a lot for that call. Now, I wanted to ask, one of the things we noticed out there that prompted us to want to have the conversation, we're seeing some reports of concerns of fire. I mentioned the Ford F-150 electric stopped production for a bit over fire concerns. We see stories on airplanes where people's devices start smoking with lithium batteries. I think New York has concerns about electric bikes. So is this happening a lot, or are we in the media focusing on this so it looks like it's happening a lot? How big a concern is this?
I think it is a concern. It doesn't mean that it's happening more than it has in the past, but I think that that the novelty of electric cars is going to wear off, the wow factor, and people are going to zero in, okay, what are the flaws? What are the shortcomings? One of the shortcomings of the dominant chemistry, which is a nickel-based chemistry, lithium, remember, is just the repository of the energy. That's what shuttles in, back and forth within the battery. But the electrodes are made of something else, graphite on one side, and then usually a nickel-based electrode on the other side. That electrode is flammable, extremely, extremely volatile. And so there's another formulation that uses iron and phosphate, LFP. It's called. It's a lot less flammable, and I think because of the safety concerns that we are going to see a dramatic shift to this much less flammable electrode.
Let's go now to Marty with us in Palmyra. Marty, hello.
Hello. Question. So when these lithium batteries wear out, then what do we do with them? We bury them in a mountain, or can you recycle them, or what?
The end of the lifespan, Steve, for these lithium, especially these lithium electric vehicle batteries. What do we know about that at this point?
Yeah, so this is a it's a cottage industry, so there are a lot of people thinking about that. There are a handful already of companies, including listed companies. Li-Cycle is one of them that have developed recycling technologies, and so the short answer is that almost everything in a lithium ion battery can be recycled, and there are companies doing it, and the auto companies themselves are trying to arrange for this to happen. And one big reason for this is what you stated in the beginning, and that's the shortage of the metals. Where are we going to get all the metals that we need? And so if you can create a circular kind of effect, that'll be good. However, I just wanted to add at the end here, we're at the very beginning of the of a critical mass of EVs being produced and sold on the market. These cars are going to last. The batteries within the cars and the cars themselves are going to last 15 years. I mean, they're lasting a lot longer than people thought, and that means that the bulk of the recycling that you're thinking of is way into the 2030s. That's when it'll begin.
And Steve, just in our last minute, what is the big question you're asking right now about what's next for these batteries?
Well, I guess my big question is, I guess I would repeat what I already said, is do we as Americans have the stick-to-itness to stick with the creation of this new industry for, you know, the 10 years that it'll take to complete the job?
Steve, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Steve Levine, editor of The Electric Newsletter. He's also author of the book, The Powerhouse, America, China, and the Great Battery War. He joined us today with the latest on the electric battery industry, China's current control of the production market, and the Biden administration's push for more domestic production, and some concerns about battery effectiveness and safety. You could still keep sharing your experiences if you've shopped for or bought an electric car, what you think about how they're working for you, or why you decided not to go that way. Email ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org.